You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by our the SID Media. So this is our problematic beliefs slash text that we are in fact going to be looking at there with my pastor. And then today, problematic beliefs is from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapters 1 verses 7 to 9, which says, and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. So this passage is considered problematic for the way the unrighteous are being punished, right? So we are unpacking there with my pastor, Pastor Ted Mwale, who's going to be helping us to understand ukuthi what can and what's going on here. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, Zanele. How are you there?
I am good, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, here it's hot in Zambia. It's quite dry.
Even here in Fundiswam, we are in the same WhatsApp group.
Hey, we are suffering.
Don't worry, Jesus is coming back soon, Fundisi. Before we start, are you using headphones, Pastor?
Not really. I'm on loudspeaker.
Or if you can please.
Can I use headphones?
Yeah, no, but please just take the phone off or loudspeaker. We're having a bit of a crackling sound there. Just use it like a normal headset.
Hey, can you hear me well now?
It's clear now, Mfundiswami. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So before we start, Mfundiswami, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us?
Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we want to thank you this morning for this lovely day. Our design prayer is that be with us as we discuss and as we indulge in this problematic passage. May the Holy Spirit guide us through and through. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundiswami, we're going to be focusing on the book of 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7 to 9, right? But before we zone in into that one, what is the main context? What was the main context regarding the book of 2 Corinthians? Thessalonians chapter 1. What was happening there in chapter 1 before we pick those two verses?
In chapter 1, the broader context actually there is eschatology.
Mm.
Now, eschatology is the study of the final events.
Okay.
Fine. That's the broad idea of how Paul is bringing out chapter 1.
Mm.
There's God's judgment and the final appearing of his glory.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
So in Christian theology, we learn that the broader context here is that there was a bit much of a proclamation of Christ's second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And this was more proclaimed during this time when Paul was writing actually 2 Thessalonians. Mm. And most of the people were looking forward to receive Christ at his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a broader context.
Okay. So when we now zone in Mfundiswami to verse 7, I have it in the NIV. I don't know if you would prefer another version, but I have it in the NIV. It says here, verse 7, it says, and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels.
Mm.
Right. So we're seeing here Jesus being revealed in blazing fire. Jesus in fire. So so what is highlighted about the revelation of Jesus here is like the fire part. Is there anything specific about the fire there? Because we're seeing that he's being revealed with fire there, right? So, and how is this revelation described, Mofundiswami, if you can add more to it there? And why is it significant that Jesus here is revealed in this manner?
Okay. There are some points I want to highlight on just the very verse we have read. And I want us to understand about how Jesus' revelation is being highlighted.
Mm.
Firstly, this is what they call the parousia. During that period, they could call it the parousia.
Okay.
And the parousia, like I mentioned, was the coming of the Lord. Now, this coming of the Lord, it's embedded with destruction, with power, and with glory. And his coming actually is also being revealed that he will come with mighty angels.
Okay.
And you will understand that when God is coming with mighty angels, there's an aspect of God's glory being revealed that men cannot stand because it's so powerful that it has to do with, almost to do with fire.
Okay.
Yes, almost to do with fire. And during this period, people have read of how God brought in fire. Because in Malachi chapter 4, you remember that the Bible says that God will rain fire and he will prepare it like an oven just to destroy those who are unrighteous.
Okay.
Basically, this is what we find on the revelation of God as we highlighted.
Uh-huh. So when we are seeing fire, then Fundiswami, you reference Malachi there. I think also in the Old Testament, we do see God revealing himself as fire there, where we now understand that he's the consuming fire. So this fire is one fire, Fundiswami. It's not like the different fires, but it's one fire.
It's actually one fire.
Ah, okay. Fire.
Yeah, fire.
Don't worry, Fundiswami.
Fire.
Yes.
This fire, as I highlight more about this, is that we need to understand that in Christian theology, there are two aspects we need to know. There's what we call the theophany.
Okay.
Theophany basically simply means the study of God's direct manifestation of his power. Yes, this happened at Sinai. Remember when he came down at Sinai, there was actually a burning fire.
Yes.
Then there's another one, what we call the omnipresence. This one basically is him being present indirectly in the universe without him being being alluded to with fire. But he's just there around the universe. He's just overseeing what is happening around. We call it omnipresence, that God is omnipresent.
You said it's Theo what? Fundisi?
Theophany.
Theophany.
Theophany. When you read in Exodus chapter 32, verse 9, the Bible says, God saw that these people were stiff-necked, and because they were stiff-necked, he said to Moses, let me alone that my wrath should be burned hot against them. This is what is called theophany.
Theophany. I've learned a very good way to find do it.
Hey, this is what we find also in 2 Thessalonians chapter, chapter 1, reading on verse 8.
Theophany. I've learned the word. I won't ask anything more from this one. Don't worry. Theophany. Okay, moving right along. Fundiswami, in verse 8 there, you know, verse 8 speaks of Jesus dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, right? And how does this align with the biblical teachings on judgment, Fundiswami? And what does it imply about divine justice? Because it says here, let me read it, Pastor, for the benefit of our listeners. It says there, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah. I'm actually feeling it.
I'm from this. What are you feeling?
I am feeling the theophany here, basically, because God is actually dealing with stiff-necked people. People who do not obey his voice, who do not obey the commandment. Then he does not come like omnipresent. He comes as a theophany just to destroy them. And because he's destroying them, his judgment must be justice. Let me tell you something here. What I want to say here is that the Bible talks about the duty of mankind. Now, when you read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, it says, the whole matter of man is to fear God. Do you get that one? Is to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's duty. And God will bring into judgment. So basically, the justice of God is being spoken about because he has given his commandments. Are you feeling it?
Yes. You're funny.
You're funny.
Okay, Fundis, let's be serious. Okay, Fundis.
Okay.
Yeah, Fundis.
We are serious now.
Now we are serious, Fundis, so I'm theophany. All right, so we're seeing here, Fundis, so I mean, as we continue studying these verses, right, so the punishment method includes the separation from the presence of God. Hey, it's going to be difficult here. What does this signify, and how is it understood in Christian theology? Because I think, Fundiswam, you will correct me there. We do have people now that are separated from God. Or they said, no, they separated themselves from God, you know. And we can see that things are not make sure. Their things are not make sure there. But when now it's Jesus who's doing that, the separation, separating these people from God, you know, what does it signify? And how do we understand it in Christian theology?
Okay. Actually, in Christian theology, it's much deeper than that, because the answer is actually on verse 8.
Okay.
Those who do not know God have separated themselves. That is what we call sin.
Mm-hmm.
So this theophany appearance of God does not stay where there is sin.
Mm.
So actually, he will separate himself from their presence.
Okay.
Omnipresence. Mm. The omnipresence I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said omnipresence is God being available. Okay. His presence encompasses the whole world or the universe indirectly. Okay. So he will actually separate himself from them because they have sin in themselves.
Mm.
So this is very important to understand in Christian theology, that at one point, God can create. At one point, God can destroy. Mm-hmm. That's the significance of the text.
Ah. I want that text in Fundi. So I just want to quickly do a diversion. Can we off-ramp, Pastor? Like, just do a detour. We'll come back. I want to look at it. What are the dangers of being separated from God? As much as this is the last day events, but currently so, what are some of the dangers of finding yourself being separated from God?
The danger there is that punishment will come, destruction. Remember the book of Genesis chapter 6?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, God brought in the rains. That was too much dangerous for those people.
Mm.
They couldn't hear what Noah was talking about. So they separated themselves and God's presence was removed. Then the rains came. It's dangerous actually to remove yourself from the presence of God, because he might punish you or he might destroy you.
Mm.
The other aspect of dangers of being separated from God is that you will stand alone without having God being on your side.
Mm.
You know, Hebrews chapter 4, we're reading on verse 14. The Bible says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Okay? Mm. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Those are the dangers of being separated. You will not find mercy. You can't obtain grace because you've been found unaware. You are being separated from him.
Mm. Hmm.
That's the open.
Okay. Coming back now for this one, rerouting it to our to the second Thessalonians. So how does this passage that we looked at, it's verses 7 to 9, our dear listeners, how does the passage align in Amphudiswam with the teachings on salvation by faith in Christianity? And how might Christians reconcile the concept of judgment and salvation by faith?
Well, I love this aspect because it will actually take us to the throne of God. Now, in Christian theology, I'll mention to say that we learn that salvation is a gift of God. This gift of God has been given to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Therefore, when God has given us his Son, his gift, salvation comes by faith and the hearing of the word of God, which is the gospel. In addition to this, a person must begin to believe in God, that he exists without evidence of his presence. You don't have to ask for theophany. You don't have to ask for omnipresence because you just believe by faith that God exists. Those are the teachings of Christianity. We believe that God exists because we have faith that he is what he is. And simply because he is what he is, therefore we are excluded from destruction.
Okay.
We are excluded from judgment. Why am I saying so? Because we have been reconciled through Jesus. Actually, Romans chapter 8 says, now therefore, because we're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Even if God can come like theophany with destruction fire, with consuming fire, with us will be like Elijah who is going into the chariot of fire. You didn't hear that one.
Chariot of fire.
Yeah. So we can see that in Christ we are hidden even when God is consuming fire. So therefore the concepts of judgment and salvation are reconciled together.
Theophany. You see now. Mfundisi, please come back. Fire onto the phone lines. Welcome back, Mfundisi. We lost you there.
Yeah, I'm here. There's a theophany happening somewhere.
I can't raise Pastor Monica.
God has come down.
Mfundisi, as we speak about a serious matter here, Mfundisi. Okay, Quebec, continue, Mfundisi, on salvation.
Oh, yeah. So salvation there, we actually, when we are reading about the same text of Second Thessalonians, we find that the Apostle Paul encourages those who are in trial that they will rest when Jesus Christ shall come from heaven and when he shall be revealed in his glory. When Jesus will come, he shall actually remove pain. He will remove pain to those who felt pain, who accepted him, but they were in the tunnel of pain. He shall remove them. But finally, this description is very important. It's that Jesus is revealed from heaven. This is what I'm calling it, parousia.
Okay.
The revelation of God from heaven is called parousia. Him coming from heaven. And when we are talking about heaven, we are talking about a place of harmony and no sorrow. So in connection to Christ's ascension, the first ascension is that he was taken up into heaven. Now, the second coming, therefore, requires Jesus himself being the liberator. Now, I want to let the hearer know that anything to do with heaven is good news, Zanelli there. It is good news. Anything to do with heaven is good news. So when Jesus is actually coming from heaven, it doesn't mean that it is for us to boast who are in Christ that he will destroy the sinner. The key thing is there is that it is actually Jesus who has the keys to salvation. This is significant to those actually who are blinded by the affairs of this world. is that if they can be unlocked and see how Christ has sacrificed for us, they can see that indeed Jesus consuming fire is not actually destroying the person, it's actually destroying the sinner, the sin in the sinner.
And that's not theophany, Mfundiswam. Anyway, as we are coming to the end, my pastor there, what are your final words regarding this? So when people are reading the book of Second Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, what should be their understanding in terms of that? Because some may see it as being harsh, some may seem like, hey, what's going on here? So what would be your takeaway out of all of everything that we have spoken about regarding those two particular verses?
My takeaway home is that to the reader or to the hearer is that I see salvation in First Thessalonians, and this salvation is that Jesus is the key. Though there is vacancy, God still is in control. And finally, Paul in this epistle is trying to let the reader prepare his conduct before the coming of Jesus, before the parousia. Before Jesus come, he's actually telling the reader, the Christians, to have a way in which they will conduct themselves. Because if they do not conduct themselves according to the lifestyle of God, there'll be vengeance there. They are separating themselves from God. So we are encouraged to prepare for the coming of the Lord, because his coming, his theophany, will be like Moses when he comes down from the mountain and people look at him and say, "Hey, Moses, you are shining." And we shall be changed from glory to glory.
Theophany. Mfundis, we have learned a word today. I promise I will not include it in my other conversations that I'm going to be having today. I really do promise, but I'll try not to say theophany when I'm asking, you know, any other questions. So I'm going to ask Mfundiswami that may you please pray for us and pray for that God, you know, he may manifest himself more so that we can add to the theophany.
Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, what in heaven, we want to thank you, because when we are speaking of heaven, we are speaking of good news. And the good news is that us who are down here have learned that you are coming again. Our prayer this morning is that you prepare our hearts to meet you in glory, that your coming, Heavenly Father, won't be a distraction to us, but we accept your coming and be translated into heaven. There's someone who is listening this morning and they are discouraged because of their conduct as Christians. We want to pray for them, that may you be with them and remind them that there is more to it than being discouraged. There's much more when Jesus is the answer. So we pray, dear Father, that you continue blessing us for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Mwale, thank you so much. It was a very lovely one. Nice and, refreshing, yet educative at the same time. So thank you so much, my pastor. May you have yourself a blessed day. Till we chat, I think we're speaking again on Thursday. So do find another word that we're going to learn on Thursday, right?
We'll bring another word.
Bye-bye, Mfundis.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.